All right, let's shift gears now and talk about something less problematic with Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Meghna.
Okay, so I was saying that sports is less problematic, but let's start with football because, of course, the Patriots are headed to Super Bowl LI.
Yes, they're saying LI again instead of 50. They didn't want to say Super Bowl L because it sounded like Super Bowl loser.
Yeah, but LI sounds a little, anyway, 51. But for, you know, it's not just a game. It's so very much more. There's the money, there's the marketing, and of course, there's politics involved because I want to play a little bit of tape of a shout-out that Tom Brady got this week from Fox News and White House advisor Kellyanne Conway.
I hear that Tom Brady and Donald Trump are friends and have been for like 15 years at least, as long as he's been a pro. And now he's getting, as he goes to another Super Bowl, he's getting blowback about that friendship, and it's only going to heat up. What's the president's reaction?
President Trump is just so grateful that friends like Tom Brady are loyal and can, you know, ignore the shrapnel, the verbal shrapnel.
Tom Brady's pretty good at ignoring the verbal shrapnel.
Well, I don't think that'll be a problem at all because, you know, Tom is allied with Coach Bill Belichick, who's, oh, wait a minute, he's a close friend of Donald Trump as well. Yeah, but there's Robert Kraft at the top of the organ. Oh, wait, Robert Kraft is a pal of Donald Trump's as well. Oh, there may be something going on here.
I take it as a sign.
Right after this program, I'm going to take some polls and do some research and find out whether an investigation is called for. Congress, somebody.
I look, Bill, I take it as a sign of, that's Kellyanne Conway's way of saying that Tom Brady is just really good at staying focused on what's important. And
what's important is
winning the Super Bowl.
He's very good at that, absolutely. Shrapnel was a little over the top.
Verbal
didn't you
shrapnel.
Think?
Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, I mean, look, the Super Bowl and news and talk about it is, of course, everywhere. But I'm curious, Bill, it seems as if the NFL is singularly good at turning any kind of publicity, verbal shrapnel or not, into great publicity.
Oh, it's absolutely true. And this time around, so much was handed to them. We've got something between a soap opera and a reality TV show here because we've got Tom Brady potentially winning the Super Bowl again, and we've got Roger Goodell, who suspended Tom Brady for four games at the beginning of the season, potentially having to smile at him and hand him and Robert Kraft the trophy at the end. You don't write reality TV scripts any better than this. And it is a soap opera in every sense of the word, and it's to such an extent that people may kind of forget that it's a football game. They may just be waiting for that ceremony at the end, unless Atlanta, you know, ruins the entire plot.
Yeah, but we won't. Let's not even think of that possibility here. But look, the NFL makes a ton of money, right? It's the world's richest sports league, raked in, what, $12 billion in revenue last year. We were looking at the most watched programs in U.S. history, and the Super Bowl ranks 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the six top watched television shows in American history.
Yeah, MASH crept in there, you know, between two Super Bowls somehow, the final episode.
But
MASH.
I bring this up because, you know, Bill, you and I have talked week in and week out about all the challenges that players and the league itself have faced with all the news on traumatic brain injury and concussions, but nothing seems to be derailing the NFL from its soaring popularity.
No, I think you're right. And that is simply an indication of the enormous popularity of pro football and, to a lesser extent, perhaps in some parts of the country, college football in this country. It simply cannot be stopped. It's a train that's on a track all its own, going about as fast as it can go, and people seem to be just delighted with that circumstance, at least in large numbers.
Well, I want to switch gears here and talk about the NBA because this is another league trying to find innovative ways to make some more money. Not that they don't make enough, but there have been some recent rules changes in the NBA, and we've seen it, actually. The Globe had a picture of it. New corporate sponsorship logos. Mm-hmm. For the Celts, it's going to be a curly little green GE symbol on the shoulders of Boston players. What do
yes.
you think?
Well, I think this sort of thing has been coming for a long time, and of course it's present already in other leagues and other sports. I think you have to be a little careful.
Yeah.
You know, not too long ago, one of the most prominent teams in the Premiership playing soccer in England had AIG on their uniform, and that's all they had.
Be
you know,
careful. Now, so you'll have to be a little careful.
I mean, what if this had happened a while back and the New York Knicks had a little patch that said Bernie Madoff Associates. I mean, it just wouldn't have worked out very well. You have to be a little careful. And the way these things happen is the chief executive owner of the Celtics is pals with the chief executive of General Electric, and they play squash together, or they went to business school together, and one of them says, hey, I got an idea about how each of us could make a lot more money.
And you're so talking about Steve Pagliuca and Jeff Immelt, right?
I'm talking about those very two. And it's, you know, I suppose it doesn't do any harm as long as the patches are very small and the people don't forget that they're watching the Celtics.
You're talking about the Premier League in the UK. I always liked that in the United States. Like, the brand of the team was enough.
You see the name of the team. That's right.
Right? And the rest of the jerseys were pristine. I don't like the corporate creep on the backs of our players.
I like your purist take on this very much, Meghna. Although I would say that my favorite soccer team of all time used to really do it the right way, and that was, of course, soccer club, FC Football Club Barcelona. They used to have only one name on the front of their jersey, and it was UNICEF. And they paid UNICEF millions of dollars each year. No, they didn't take money from UNICEF to publish. They paid UNICEF millions of dollars each year for the honor of having the name UNICEF on the front of their jerseys. A couple of years ago, they took a sponsorship deal. UNICEF is now a patch on the back of their jersey, but I assume they still pay UNICEF some money for that. At least their heart is, to some extent, if not on the front of the jersey, in the back of the jersey, but still somewhat in the right place. But you're right. It would be nice if the names of the teams or the names of the
were
city
enough.
They represented were sufficient.
But I have to say, the NBA is taking baby steps here, right? Because NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says he estimates the total revenue across the entire league from these sponsorships could be $100 million. Okay, good for the entire league. But we were looking. Real Madrid, soccer team in Spain, just that one team, from its corporate sponsorship on its jerseys, they get $192 million a year. Just one team. So we got a ways to go.
Well, they have to, because they employ Cristiano Ronaldo, and it's very expensive to employ Cristiano Ronaldo.
That's his entire salary for a year, practically, right? Well, we didn't get to talk about the Williams sisters, but I'm going to give you an extra 15 seconds to wow me with how happy you are that it's Serena versus Venus in the final of the Australian Open.
Venus at 36, Serena at 35. It's one more indication that when you talk tennis in the United States, you talk the women. Yeah. It's the Williams sisters. They're the top of the line. And Serena is making a heck of a good argument to take over as the greatest of all time in her sport.
And more power to both of them.
Absolutely.
Well, Bill Littlefield is host of NPR's Only a Game. You can hear it each Saturday on WBUR at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Thank you, as always, Bill.
A great pleasure, Meghna. Thank you.
Back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.